Hello, West Liberty. You're listening to the bi-weekly murder mystery podcast series, The Mind Behind Crime, with Caden on WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, the topic is a little different from previous episodes, as we are solely focusing on the victim services at the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections. I'm talking with Crystal Alexander, who's an administrator for the Ohio Department of Rehab and Corrections in their Office of Victim Services. So how long have you been a part of the Office of Victim Services?
So my name is Crystal Alexander. I'm the administrator in the Office of Victim Services for the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, and I've been here about 11 years.
What does your office do?
So our office works with people who have been harmed by crime, who have been what is called the victims of crime. We mostly or mainly work with people who have been the victim of violent crimes. So in the cases of murder, aggravated murder, loss of life cases, we work with the family members of the people who have passed away. So like parents, children, siblings, spouse of the victim. We work with victims of sexual violence, burglaries, robberies, or anyone who wants to register with our office who's been impacted by crime. And our department actually spans the life of that incarcerated individual from when they enter the prison all the way through their parole or post-release control when they're released from serving their sentence.
So what led you to work in victim services?
So I've always wanted to empower people to know what their rights are and to be able to use their voices to affect outcomes and the change they would like to see happen in their world. So I would like to say that I do this because it came into this because I like to support people in using their voice to say how crime has impacted them and what they'd like to see happen as a result.
That's a really good reason. So what does a typical day look like for you?
So, Caden, what's funny is when you sent me the questions, I saw that and I just kind of chuckle because in victim services, there's no such thing as a typical day. Mm-hmm. You know, we never know what is going to come across our emails or what phone calls come in, or survivors who may have driven from Cleveland or Cincinnati to our office to provide some information to us that they want us to consider in the matter that involves them. So it could be anything, but we do have a lot of something allotted for crime victims by Ohio law called Victim Conference Day appointments. So survivors may be going through that process, or they may be going through full board hearings or violation hearings. We do provide direct services to survivors of crime and any surviving family members.
Did you have to have certain training or education for this job?
Yes. I would say the lowest education you should have to do this work is a bachelor's in criminal justice or some related field. Or sometimes I talk with people who are interested in victim services about volunteering with a Red Crisis Center or a domestic violence shelter or a prosecutor's office that has a victim witness program, so that they can get some experience. There's lots of different trainings that are offered online and in person all around the state that can help people with learning the different things that impact crime victims and how to best serve them. And there's also credentialing bodies nationally and statewide that lead to that, criteria, the certification of being able to serve crime victims. It's not necessary, but it's helpful to have that under your belt.
So with working with people who are victims of a multitude of crimes, how do you maneuver working with them when it's something in the case of, like, murder?
We literally take every case by case. So it's not like something cookie cutter. And it depends on when somebody becomes involved with the system. There are some times that people reach out to our office right after a crime has, the person has been sent to prison, and, they want to be registered and kind of know, okay, when is this person going to be heard? What do I need to do? And then there's other people who were like, okay, this person was given 10 years or 20 years or something longer. I have some time to just breathe, and I'll get registered later. And so we might encounter other survivors later on in the process. And for people in that category, we would probably need to tell them what's happened the past 10, 20, 30 years, leading us to why there's going to be a hearing coming up or something like that. So it just depends on the situation. And just to give you some context, Kaden, we have, I wanted to give you some numbers. We have over 131,000 people registered with our Office of Victim Services. And so last year in 2024, we served over 29,000 crime victims, serving all 88 counties in Ohio. And then there's a lot of people that live out of state who were impacted by crime in Ohio, but they've moved away or different things like that.
Wow. That's definitely a lot of people. And I feel like that dealing with those people and helping them, it's rewarding, is it not?
It's a very beautiful experience. It's not beautiful why we have to come into contact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, the results that can come out of it, it can be very powerful. It's just valuable to see people really participating in the process, which is so incredibly, it can be very confusing and very hard to navigate. And I also think that's a major reason why our Office of Victim Services is here, to navigate this post-conviction phase of the criminal justice process.
So with that many people, how do you keep their safety and confidentiality?
So, and I'm going to send you some information as follow-up, but Ohio has they have really good confidentiality laws as it relates to crime victims and this Office of Victim Services. So we're kind of guided by Ohio Revised Code 149.43, and Ohio Revised Code 5120.21 that says that this Department of Rehabilitation and Correction shall keep confidential any victim impact statements, any information provided by victims of crime that our department considers when determining if an offender is going to be released or program participation or anything. So there's several different codes that protect the confidentiality of crime victims in Ohio, and we make sure that they know about these as we're having conversations with them.
I love that. So I'm assuming that you guys work with law enforcement and like other agencies. How do you guys do that?
Okay, so just a little bit about myself. I actually came from working at a sheriff's office first. Hmm. And then after that, I worked at a prosecutor's office. And then after I got my master's, I eventually came here to the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. And so on that earlier level, when I worked in the particular county that I did, I worked daily with law enforcement, like all the law enforcement agencies in our county. Now, on this post-conviction end, law enforcement is not always as active as they were on the front end, like the investigation and, you know, the trial stage or going to grand jury and that whole process. We do work with, in Ohio, we have 88 counties, and so we do get to work with all 88 county prosecuting attorney's offices and their victim witness programs, whether they're a part of the office or community-based. And when I was researching your school, I see that you're there on the border near Jefferson County. And we work very closely with Jefferson County Prosecutor's Office, and we think she's a fantastic county prosecutor there. Ms. Hanlon, Prosecuting Attorney Hanlon. So we have an Ohio Council on Victims Justice that helps guide the work of our Office of Victim Services. And we have a law enforcement representative on that council, as well as our Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence, Ohio Domestic Violence Network, Parents of Murdered Children, and a couple of local crime victim services serving agencies. And they really help guide the work we do with serving crime victims and making sure that it's victim-sensitive and responsive.
So would those be considered like outreach programs, or do you guys have a specific one?
Our Council on Victims Justice would be considered outreach. I mean, we have like 12 different people a part of that, or agencies a part of that council, but they specialize in different types of crime victims that they support. And here at our department, we see everybody. If that offender has been convicted of crimes, and a lot of times it's not just one crime, it's like a lot of different types of crimes as a part of a conviction many times. So we need to know about all those different dynamics of the different crimes. So that is a part of outreach, but we also do other things that include outreach.
So dealing with all 88 counties and so many people, how do you measure the effectiveness of the services you provide?
So that's where I think that we go back to the executive order that our director has in empowering our Ohio Council on Victims Justice. We meet quarterly and we really talk about anything that we come across that might be problematic, or we want to make sure that we're doing things from a very victim-centered, victim-sensitive lens. And so we do get feedback from our council. We've had surveys done of the work of our office, and we actually got very high marks from the people that we interact with, that our services are responsive. So that's some of the ways that we determine effectiveness.
So what's the biggest challenge you face doing this job?
So I've been doing this for a little while now, Kaden, and I think one of the trees I keep going around is, what is justice and what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean? And so crime, like justice for a survivor of crime, a victim of crime, the victim's family members, is different than justice for a prosecutor's office. And it's different for what that person, the offender, thinks is justice. And it's kind of like you have someone who's murdered, and the offender is sentenced, let's say, 15 years to life. And, you know, of course, most times victims' families are like, we're looking at that life. Our loved one is gone forever. And so this is what we feel justice is, that life part of that sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the offender and or their family or attorneys, defense attorneys might say, well, they've done great programming while incarcerated and they've not been in trouble and all these things. We think 15 is what's justice. And so kind of finding that balance between what all the parties, and especially crime victims who have been impacted by the crime, think is justice. I think that as long as I'm doing this work, that's going to always be like a big challenge.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's not like a number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So dealing with that, how do you handle your own mental health? Because I'm sure it's taxing.
It is. But I have a great team that I work with. There's seven of us all together handling the caseload that I told you about. And so we talk with each other a lot and bounce, situations and struggles that we come across with each other. So it's a very safe place. And I do personally have to pray. And then I have a great supervisor who's very supportive. And I love listening to music, and that really helps me a lot.
I think music is always my go-to for anything. And my life is, my mental health is not as taxing as what you've experienced, but music is definitely my go-to.
I agree. It's like, there's music about pretty much every subject or anything that you may be going through. So I agree with you, Kaden.
Yeah. So are there any recent changes or trends in the cases you've seen?
That one, not necessarily that I can think of. I guess the one thing I would say about that is there's a lot of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on any social media personally, but I, you know, there's the Facebook and the Instagram and all these different things. And so sometimes, like, victim's family and offender's family may know about each other, kind of, like, get information from those different platforms that maybe before wouldn't have been available, if that makes sense.
It does, yes.
So that can be a little like, ooh, that's interesting, you know, especially when we have such strict, you know, confidentiality laws, and it's like, ooh, how'd you hear this? But it's not anything coming from our department. It's coming from, you know, like something that's been posted somewhere by somebody related to the family or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Are there any new laws or policies that affect what you guys do?
So, there's a few. There's the substitute Senate Bill 160, which is called Roberta's Law, and that requires our department to search for and get registered the parents, children, siblings, and spouse of felony one, felony two, felony three, crimes of violence, and where there's been murder. So like aggravated murder, the murder, voluntary manslaughter, and involuntary manslaughter. Our department is required by law to search for them, get the family members registered, or if they want to opt out, then we make sure that they're opted out. And that law went into effect March 22nd of 2013. Mm-hmm. And since 2013, still less than 900 people have opted out of notifications, which means that for the most part, people want to know what's happening with the person who caused them harm, the incarcerated individual. And even if they choose not to have a say at one time, they can have it at any point during this process. And so I think that that law coming into effect has been actually very helpful for people. And then Marcy's Law is also kind of a notification law that goes from investigation or the reporting of a crime all the way to post-conviction where we operate. And it enumerates all these different rights of crime victims, and that is now in our Ohio Constitution. That these rights for crime victims are enshrined. And so that's been a huge thing as well.
Hmm. So are there any improvements that you want to see society? Are there any improvements in the way that you want to see society treat victims? Or, like, are they generally pretty good about that?
Here's what I'm going to say. I think that as a whole, people could be more empathetic to crime victims.
Mm-hmm.
And show no judgment. It seems like even if a person has been convicted, sent to prison, and all these different things, there still tends to be some deference, more deference sometimes given to incarcerated individuals versus crime victims.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to see that our society believes survivors, that they're empathetic, non-judgmental in how they interact with crime survivors. And incarcerated individuals do get a lot of different opportunities, like for education, like college education and things like that. I would love to see survivors be able to receive those equivalent opportunities.
Yeah.
So, for example, can I just give a quick example?
Sorry. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like, if an incarcerated person is taking college classes at a particular place, university, I don't know how this would, like, logistically work, but somehow offering the crime victim that they created that same opportunity with the free education. Mm-hmm. That would kind of go a long way towards that whole justice thing that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, that's all the questions I have, but I really enjoyed this, and, like, learning about this is something that I feel like, unless you're looking for it, not a lot of people know about it. So.
That's true.
Yeah, I definitely really enjoyed this, and I think that putting this out there, especially for college students, it could be really beneficial to them, because I feel like college students are really scared to speak up because of what they think people will think of them. But.
Right. And everybody's voice is important. Their voices are important. So they should definitely be encouraged to speak up and use their voice. I have a senior at a college here. He's getting ready to graduate. And I do think that it's so important for college students to use their voice and make an impact.
Well, I think that's all I have for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for letting me interview you. This was amazing.
Thank you, Kaden. And I'm just going to follow up with a quick email to you with some additional information, okay?
Okay, thank you. If you or someone you know is a victim of a crime and you need help, you can call the Ohio toll-free number for victims at 1-888-842-8464. You've been listening to the bi-weekly murder mystery podcast series, The Mind Behind Crime, with Kaden on WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Now let's get back to the music.